Chapter the Second, The Priory. So my life changed greatly after this, for the prior was a grave man and not given to laughter, and though I did not rise in the black of night for matins or spend the days in ceaseless prayer and work, as the monks did, I was kept much occupied, for the prior said the work of redemption was ceaseless. The place where the priory stood was old, out of mind, worshipped by the lovers of stones, and the huge circles of rock still thrust up their faces to keen at the moon and sun. The prior planted his crops around them, and in their shade the scraggy sheep nibbled the grasses. The land went to marsh towards the river, the forest rose up behind, and in the narrow margin between spring flood and dark wood, the priory scraped out such a living as it might. At the priory I was well treated, and I got sums and chanting and chart reading from the hands of the prior himself, for he was fond of such things, and kept a roll of map parchments carefully from damp and rot. These showed upon them the great roads of cut stone built by the Caesars, and also the tracks of rivers, so that travellers might pass from shire to shire, and in times of peace from kingdom to kingdom. I looked upon these lines with wonder, thinking of all the other folk that lived at the ends of those slender lines on parchment. But my greatest learning was to read, and then to write, most surely in my own tongue, but a little also in the holy tongue of Rome, for by far the greater number of books at the priory were in this sacred speech, and the prior did not disallow it, for the black monks are great for learning. And besides, I knew it would increase my bride price, which the prior would collect when I was wed. From Sulla, the serving woman, I learnt the womanly tasks of yarn spinning and weaving, for that is always woman's first task, high-born or low. She and I spent much of each morning at spindle or loom, but the arts of fine stitching with needle and coloured thread I taught myself, for I had few adornments and always marvelled over any bits of fancy work the prior might receive to dress the blessed altar. In this way I made bright many linens to cover the holy books, and made for myself gay designs of fanciful beasts and birds upon my gowns and sashes. Likewise, I was given to braiding and plaiting my long hair in all manner of designs of my devising, until Sulla said never horse had witch's knots woven in its mane as I wove in mine. The prior had always said that after I reached my 15th summer, for I was a summer's child, I would come into my portion, and what was left of my father's fortune would be mine. Since the night the prior told me this, already in my 13th summer, and just become a woman by nature's curious ways, I lived every hour for my 15th birthday. That I might take the veil had been his first wish, but I had no calling. It was clear in my heart, and clear, too, to the prior when he looked into my green eyes. Neither would I wed the few choices I might have amongst churls, young or old, in the shire. For I was restless and wished for more, and it rankled. I chafed and walked at times in anger in the woods, and stood at night gazing speechless at the heavens where starry messengers streaked and were gone. Like them, I desired to quit the place of my raising. As the date approached, I grew uneasy, for the prior began to press me to choose amongst two men for my husband. I was too great a girl, he said, to continue living there, and it was well time I was wed. Both men were churls, well landed, having slaves and houses of timber. The first was old, and had daughters older than me, and he was widowed not long ago. Him I did not like, as he was miserly and begrudged his poor daughters every comfort, hating them for being girls and wanting a new wife only to get sons upon. The second was young, but so uncouth and clumsy that even the serving woman laughed behind his back. I made so bold to scold the prior once for wishing me upon men who could not read nor write, who signed only with the cross of St. Andrew when they paid their tribute to the king. At this the prior grew wroth and chastised me for pride in my learning of letters when he had taught me only for the glory of God. For I was so innocent then that I knew not that few men of high birth could read and write as their grandsires could. Such had been the terror of the raiding Danes, that all men strove only to repel them, so that even as the invaders slaughtered the holy monks at Lindisfarne and Yarrow, the sons of Mercia and Northumbria and Wessex and Anglia would forget the tools of learning and know only the tools of war. So I resolved to take my portion and my name, which was all I had, if you do not count my face, and be off.